From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo includes Merah Putih vaccine as super priority program. Indonesia to raise four educational and cultural priorities during G20 presidencies. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Muhajir Effendi has said that Indonesian President Joko Widodo includes Merah Putih vaccine, which is currently in its first day of clinical trials, to become one of the super priority programs. This was affirmed by Minister Effendi during the kick-off of Merah Putih vaccine clinical trial at the Dr. Sutomo Surabaya Hospital on Wednesday. The Merah Putih vaccine entering the clinical trial stage was an extraordinary success by the local scientists. On the same occasion, Governor of East Java Kofifah Indar Parawansa said that the success of the Merah Putih vaccine in undergoing clinical trials was the result of cooperation among various related parties. She also stated that all groups must continue their collaboration in developing the Merah Putih vaccine in a bid to gain World Health Organization (WHO) recognition. Indonesia will raise four educational and cultural priorities during its G20 presidencies. This was stated by Director General of the Teachers and Educational Workers at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Iwan Syahril, during the kick-off of the G20 on Education and Culture, monitored in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also said that Indonesia opined that the initiative taken during Italy's G20 presidency last year has to be strengthened to restore access to education and make classroom better than before the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, he added that the G20 member states must work hand in hand to address unequal access to education in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. There will be four educational issues to be discussed during Indonesia's G20 presidency, including universal quality education. This issue is raised to respond to a challenge to equal access to education at all levels, particularly vulnerable groups, in order to recover from COVID-19. This issue is also a manifestation of Indonesia's commitment to realize quality educational access for all in accordance with the 4 SDGs. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD has encouraged the press to continue to play an active role in the development of democracy in Indonesia. He made the statement on the ministry's YouTube account as monitored by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also remarked that the press must continue to play a role in building a more democratic and civilized Indonesia in pursuit of a golden Indonesia in 2045. In the commemoration of National Press Day HPN 2022, he extended greetings of Happy Press Day to all members of the press that had contributed to Indonesia's independence. The minister added that in the past, the press participated in the struggle for Indonesian independence and defended that independence. Let's move on to the international news. French President Emmanuel Macron, the first leader of major Western power to meet President Vladimir Putin since Russia massed troops near Ukraine, said recently he believes steps can be taken to de-escalate the crisis and called on sides to stay calm. In contrast to the US and British leaders, President Macron has played down the likelihood that Russia may soon invade its neighbor, shuttle from Moscow to Kiev on Tuesday in a bid to mediate the settlement and avoid war. The French president had no breakthroughs to announce, but Macron said he thought his talks had helped prevent the crisis from escalating further. He said he had never expected for one second that Putin would make concessions. Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky had told him they were committed to the principles of the 2014 peace agreement. He said, adding that this deal, known as the Minsk Accords, offered a path to resolving their ongoing disputes. UK Defence Minister Ben Wallace will arrive in Moscow on Friday to take part in the 2+2 talks between the UK and Russian foreign and defence ministers, Downing Street said. On Wednesday, the UK embassy in Moscow told RIA Novosti that Wallace planned to meet the Russian defence minister Sergei Shoigu on February 11. Downing Street said in a statement that the foreign secretary is in Moscow today, and the defense secretary will be there for talks with their counterparts. They will stress the only way forward is for Russia to ease its aggressive campaign on hybrid warfare and engage in meaningful talks. According to Downing Street, London is ready to work on a diplomatic solution to the existing difference with Russia. Italian Foreign Minister Luigi Di Maio welcome French President Emmanuel Macron's initiative due to the aggravation of the Russia-Ukraine relation. Speaking to the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell by phone, the Italian minister pointed out the need to combine unity, firmness, and balance in the response to Moscow. Minister Di Maio also said Italy supports effective deterrent measures. He said the European Union should play an active role in the Ukrainian dossier and in the sphere of European security in close cooperation with NATO and the OSCE. The Italian Foreign Ministry said in a statement in this connection, Minister Di Maio expressed his appreciation for the initiative of President Macron as the European Union President and for the coordination of the efforts of the High Representative with key partners from the US to NATO and the OSCE, stressing the importance of a structured dialogue at the top level with Russia on European security issues. Starting Thursday, the South Korean government will enforce a new management system for low-risk COVID-19 patients undergoing treatment at home. Under the revised system, low-risk COVID-19 patients who are responsible for their own at-home treatment will no longer receive daily health checkup calls for medical workers. Low-risk patients are now expected to self-monitor their condition at home and contact local clinics by phone for consultations or to obtain medicine prescriptions. Cohabitants of patients are permitted to pick up prescriptions. For patients living alone, local government offices or community health centers can deliver prescriptions upon request. Restrictions have also been eased for those who come into close contact with COVID-19 patients. Previously, such individuals were required to quarantine, but this requirement has been rescinded for those who are fully vaccinated. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today on Russia-Ukraine tensions need to be resolved through diplomatic approach.
The tension between Russia and Ukraine is yet to end. Despite the guarantee from Russian President Vladimir Putin after a talk with French President Emmanuel Macron in Moscow on Monday. It is because Russia kept the request to NATO and the West. First, Russia requested NATO to stop expansion by recruiting more members. Second, Russia wanted NATO to withdraw their troops from Eastern Europe. And third, Russia asked US not to support NATO member countries in Eastern Europe with nuclear weapons. The West did not grant Russia's wishes. Instead, they replied with a sanction threats. Germany's Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock on Monday urged Russia to reduce the tension and even warned Russia of a heavy political and economic sanction should they attack Ukraine. Similarly, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson would ask their parliament to impose a sanction against Russian individuals and companies. Despite these threats, Russia did not flinch. Russia had gathered more than 100 troops near the Ukraine border in recent weeks. And more recently, Russia readied their MiG-31K fighter jet in Kaliningrad in the Baltic Coast. On the other hand, Ukraine's allies from the US and NATO kept sending security support and weapons to help the country anticipating Russia's attack. Still, is there no other way to reduce the tension from escalating? Diplomacy is still an option. Just like French President Emmanuel Macron did, doing diplomacy to prevent the escalation. Amid the tension, Macron left for Kyiv on Monday, right after Moscow. It is expected that every side evolve with support and continue Macron's diplomacy. Only with diplomacy, the worst can be averted.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on February 10, 1952, the first general election in India. On 10th February 1952, India successfully held its first general election since independence from British colonialism. India's Congress Party, led by Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, won a landslide victory in the general election. As a result, Pandit Nehru was officiated as Prime Minister of India for 5 years. The election was viewed by the world as a test for India to become a democratic country after being independent. There were 176 million people eligible to have voted, although only 15% could read or write. Symbols were used on ballots for each party and independent candidate, so those who could not read knew where to vote. Voters were not even required to mark their ballots. They just needed to put them in the box, which was marked with the symbol of their elected candidate. Next event is that in 1962, US spy plane was shot down in Soviet Union. A spy plane belonging to the United States of America was shot down while crossing the skies of the Soviet Union. The pilot of the plane, Francis Gary Powers, managed to survive even though he was eventually detained by the Soviet Union. After negotiations, the Soviet Union was willing to release Gary after the US also released Soviet Union spies who were detained. We end today's history with the event in 1984, Massacre of Wagala in Kenya. On February 10, 1984, the Wagala massacre was perpetrated by Kenyan troops at Wagala Airfield in the Wajir area, Kenya. The area was mostly inhabited by Somalis. Kenya's president at the time, Daniel Arap Moi, opened an army barracks near Wagala with the intention of helping to defuse inter-tribal conflict. However, according to eyewitnesses, about 5,000 Somali people were taken to the airstrip and forbidden to get access of water and food for 5 days before being executed by the Kenyan army. Well, listener, that was today's history read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku? Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Hingga ku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dari. Walau hanya sesaat, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Aku yang selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku? Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Hingga ku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dari. Hanya sesaat, Saat ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Economic Deputy of the National Development and Planning Ministry, National Development and Planning Agency, Bappenas, Amalia Adininggar Widyasanti, said that the green economy can enhance Indonesian products' competitiveness.She also remarked that fashion products from abroad have been using recycled materials. An eco-friendly development implementation will also be coordinated across ministries and institutions, namely by making green economy priority program performance rate indicators. In the annual and five-year planning document, Bappenas will include the performance indicators from each program and priority activities to measure the progress of the green economy implementation across Indonesia.Amalia further remarked that the current challenge from the national economic transition towards the greener one is Indonesia's independence on the not environmentally friendly fossil commodities, both for power source and export. According to Amalia, research and development to obtain a cheaper renewable energy technology would also be a great challenge.
Maaf telah sayang padamu Kau selalu buatku tak menentu Perhatianmu yang buatku Oh ingin ku memilikimu Meski kau telah dimilikinya Bolehkah ku dekat denganmu
sana berikan cintamu. Kau selalu ada untukku, izinkan ku untuk memilikimu. Oh, izinkan ku dekat denganmu, tak ingin engkau dengannya. Ku akan oh menunggu, oh sampai kau menjadi milikku.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Batu Cermin Cave, Labuan Bajo in West Manggarai Regency, West Nusa Tenggara, is being prepared for the G20 side event. Located not far from downtown Labuan Bajo, Batu Cermin Cave is one of the unique tours in Labuan Bajo. In addition, there are a lot of historic records and stories behind this natural destination. According to Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, this destination can become an educational tourism destination. The government is also ready to support various trainings and provide assistance so that there is an increase in capacity in terms of services. Batu Cermin Cave, which is formed in limestone, was studied in 1951 by a missionary who is also an archaeologist from the Netherlands, Theodor Verhoeven. This cave, with an area of about 19 hectares, was once under the sea, where after millions of years, it was lifted to the surface of the land. The walls of the cave contain a lot of salt so that it can reflect sunlight. In addition, that walls and ceilings of this cave contain fossils of fish, turtles, and coral reefs, as well as stalactites that plunk from the cave sky, and stalagmites sticking out of the cave floor. This is the main attraction of Batu Cermin Cave. If you go farther into the cave, you will find a narrow space with holes in the sky of the cave. During the day, sunlight penetrates through the holes. The light that reflects on the walls of the cave reflects to other areas in the cave so that the stone of the cave is like a mirror. The reflection of lights also makes the surface of the stone shiny, even golden to green. Therefore, this natural phenomenon makes the local residents call it Batu Cermin Cave. Batu Cermin Cave is located only about 4 kilometers from the downtown of Labuan Bajo and takes about 15 minutes to get there by motor vehicle. The entrance ticket is 10,000 rupiah per person, and you have to pay for the tour guide. It's worth 20,000 rupiah. The ticket price includes safety equipment, such as helmets, that must be used when entering the cave. Because of the narrow cave area, the presence of stalactites and stalagmites, there are restrictions for visitors to enter. One tour would take about 30 minutes and can only be joined by 10 visitors, including the guide. The best time to visit Batu Cermin Cave is from 9 to 12 o'clock, because at that time, you can see the sunlight reflecting on the cave wall.
Ooh, 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 yeah. Ooh, 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 yeah. Ooh, 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 jauh masa depan. Kelak suatu hari ku akan menjadi cahaya bagi Indonesia. Ayolah kawan, bersama kita akan harumi Indonesia.
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic: Indonesian officially has the first floating power plant produced independently. Listeners, the collaboration between PT PLN and PT PAL Indonesia has succeeded in building a modern mobile power plant, or MPP. The synergy of both companies has become a revolutionary milestone in the development of a mobile power plant in the form of a bulk-mounted power plant, or BMPP. The first phase of the BMPP, which was developed by PLN through its subsidiary PT Indonesia Power in synergy with PT PAL, is named BMPP Nusantara 1. The mobile power plant with a capacity of 60 MW has been completed and will soon be heading to Ambon, Maluku. President Director of PT PLN Darmawan Prasojo said that specifically in eastern Indonesia, the existence of the bulk-mounted power plant type is a solution to meet the electricity needs in the remote areas across Indonesia. BMPP Nusantara 1 uses the first dual-fuel diesel engine technology in Indonesia. Nusantara 1 can supply 60 megawatts of electricity from the solar panels above it. As a floating power plant, BMPP is built using robust and proven design materials. It has the flexibility to operate with different fuels, both diesels, B30, and gas, without the need to turn off the generator. This is a solution to availability of fuel in certain areas. With its compact dimensions and low water load for the size of a bar, the BMPP Nusantara 1 is claimed to be able to operate in shallow waters and remote areas, as well as being mobile, so that it can be an electrification solution in case of natural disaster. After the bark-mounted power plant, BMPP Nusantara 1 has been produced, it will be followed by two other BMPPs with half a larger accumulation of electrical power with a total capacity of 150 MW. Operations and maintenance are also fully carried out by PT Indonesia Power, so that there is no longer dependence on electricity supply from outside parties. In the future, BMPP is expected to be able to meet the needs or replace floating power plants, not only in Ambon or Maluku, but also in several other regions across Indonesia. That's Ms. Seleni.
Sudah ada di hati, tak ada alasan.
mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyō shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhong que pei tai hou zhao yi fang qi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
For COVID, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Today, we're going to reminisce about the 80s with a song from Giant Step. Giant Step is a progressive rock band from Bandung, West Java. It was active from 1975 to 1985. The band was founded by Benny Subarja. One of the songs is Gregetan. The song was released in the album of the same name in 1985. The song Gregetan, with a cheerful tone and catchy lyrics, makes it easier to remember. The song was once again popular among the younger generation after being sung again by Sherina Munaf in 2009. Well, listener, here is the Giant Step with the song Gregetan.
Wajahnya ku lirik lagi dia, semakin ku pandang wajahnya semakin rupawan. Matanya memancarkan cinta, senyumnya manja dan menggoda. Gayanya wajar mempesona, siapa dia? Tanya siapa namanya, hey darahku dengar desak suaranya. Rupawan matanya memancarkan cinta,
gayanya manja dan menggoda. Gayanya wajar mempesona. Siapa dia? Hey hey, gergetan jadinya gergetan. Apa yang harus ku lakukan? Gergetan, duh aku gergetan. Mungkinkah aku jatuh cinta? Ku coba, ku sapa dirinya, ku tanya siapa namanya. Hei darahku dengar desah suaranya. Oh lengkaplah sudah. Gergetan jadinya gergetan. Apa yang harus kulakukan? Gergetan duh aku gergetan. Mungkinkah aku jatuh cinta?
Voice of Indonesia.
Penyesalan di hati, sanjak hanya ungkapan hati tak cukup sudah.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.